This is an ABC podcast.
This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall on ABC Radio.
And regional Victoria was thrown into lockdown with just 2 hours' notice on Saturday. The Premier apologised for the inconvenience but said that locking down individual towns and communities just wasn't an option.
So are lockdowns, local lockdowns, what you want to see? Because some in-country areas say they are hundreds of kilometres away from an outbreak and they shouldn't be included in a statewide lockdown.
But then there are other reports from Bendigo, one hospitality worker. Apparently he turned away 50 Melburnians in 4 days and they want a ring of steel back.
So what is the answer? Should we be trying to find a way to keep Melburnians out of regional Victoria? Or, at a time when we're relying on domestic tourism, is there a safe way to let some Melburnians in?
Maybe rapid testing or vaccination passports like the snow. Now, this is controversial, Jono, but what if Victorians who have a second home, and maybe they can prove that, whether it be with a rates notice or a bill, and they can also prove that they're vaccinated, should they be allowed into regional Victoria? Would that actually help some businesses stay afloat and keep that smaller local economy moving?
That's a really interesting point, Rich. And as we head towards the busier part of the year, you know, the holiday season, is there a way to keep some towns ticking over, to keep them open to either locals and surrounding towns, or is there a safe way to let some other Victorians in and travel around?
The question today is, do we try and keep people out or do we try and let people in?
On ABC Radio, this is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall.
Now, this debate has been going on for a while, but I want to hear from you today. We both want to hear from you around whether we should be keeping people out of regional Victoria or finding a way to let some people in and keep businesses open and just keep them ticking over. David Strange is the owner of the Meetung Pub and has been pretty vocal about this over the weekend. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Jono. How are you, and Rochelle?
Morning.
I'm all right. What do you think about having separate restrictions in some parts of Victoria?
Well, as you know, I've got very strong views on that, and I think we should. I mean, you look at Mildura and Oyun and Warrnambool, you look at Meetung, Orbost, you know, Marlow. Why are we all closed down? We haven't ever had a case in what ever since this started. We clearly managed it well. And you know, why are we closed down?
There's a text here that says it was never a ring of steel anyhow, more like soft butter. Anybody could get through if they wanted. Back roads are unpatrolled and anybody could forge a permit. David, a lot of people are very divided on this. Some areas say, no, look, we really need to keep Melburnians out. We want people to stay separated until we can get on top of this. But others like yourself are saying, well, look, the way forward, you know, we need a plan. What do you think is the way forward, at least leading into when we're 80% vaccinated, which is the target?
Well, you know, these lockdowns, they just give such a, it's just such a terrible price we're paying. With people's livelihoods, education, people are dying as a direct result of the lockdown, which is man-made. And we need to have a balance. We need to have a balance where we can, you know, isolate the virus as best you can where it is, and let other parts of the state stay open and do business. I mean, it's just destroying people, and you can't let it go on. So we've got to think of a way. Now, you can't tell me just the Premier says, lockdown, that's it. There's no other way. There are other ways. You could quite easily break the state up into quadrants. Look, I'm a publican. I'm sure there's more intelligent people than me who could work out a way of, you know, where we're vaccinated and let those areas open. You just can't lock us down as a general room. We're a state as big as the, you know, the country of the UK and England. Well, we've got to earn an income. People have got to go to work. I mean, it's terrible.
I don't, I don't know if you saw any of the press or read any statements afterwards, but the Premier says the game has changed. So he says this is a more infectious virus. He says the age demographic of this outbreak is very different to what we've seen before. So about 80% of our active cases are aged below 40 and about 25% under the age of 9. He says this is very different to what was happening last year. What do you say to that?
Well, I'm not privy to that information, so I believe him. And, well, yes, it is. But do we live life for today, or do we live life for what might happen in 2 weeks' time? If that's the case, you know, why are you alive in this world? I mean, isolated, just looking from what I read, it's mainly in the western suburbs of Melbourne, and it's found its way out to Shepparton. Well, lock those areas down really tightly. Bring in the armed forces if you have to. Saying that, if we had an outbreak in Bairnsdale or Sale or Lakes Entrance, I'd be the first to say lock us down, yes. But lock down Warrnambool, because we've got it. We've got to find a way.
Yeah. David, really good to speak with you. Thank you. I think lots of people have got different ideas on this. Stay safe. That's David Strange. He's the owner of the Me Tongue Pub. Paul in Gisborne on tech says, well done. Why not open the conversation to people that are only worried about their own self-interests? Open our town, but not others. It's all about money. And this, if rural locals don't want me at my rural holiday home, then they don't need my rates money this year. That's from Andy. Let's have a chat with Arthur. He's in Yakandanda. Arthur, what did you want to say?
G'day, yes. It's pretty obvious that speed is of the essence, and there's a serious problem with regional towns, smaller towns. There is no existing system sitting waiting, ready to respond if there's an outbreak. They have to send specialist teams up from Melbourne or Wodonga or wherever. That takes a lot of time, and then as they found in Shepparton, they can't test people quickly enough to really get on top of this thing.
Yeah, now, so isn't that the problem, Arthur, that, you know, there aren't enough medical professionals in regional areas? So that, I mean, I've got a text here saying no to letting people out into regional areas. Healthcare would not be able to cope. So this is partly around the spread of the virus, but also around whether regional healthcare can cope.
Well, I think the point is that we don't need the specialist medical help. If there was a stockpile of rapid tests available in each of the towns, you could get volunteers to monitor the tests, to record who the people are, and to record the results. We've got volunteers that can do anything in almost all of these small towns.
So almost run it like you would at the snow. Arthur, that's a really interesting point, using volunteers to have rapid tests before you can enter a town, whether or not that will work. Let's have a chat with Peter. He's in Geelong. Hi, Peter.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What do you reckon? We're trying to keep people out or keep people in? I mean, some people here on text are saying that publican just wanted to make money, but isn't that what small business owners want to do?
Yeah, it is, but surely we should be giving some reward to the people who've been vaccinated. If they can travel to the snow, surely they can travel everywhere, which will support rural tourism and so forth.
So how do you police that, though? How do you do that successfully?
Well, how do you check it now if they do it at the snow? So the same thing. So publicans or people then would check if they got their vaccination certificate. If yes, come on in. If not, well, go away.
Yeah, fair enough, Peter. Look, thank you very much for your thoughts. Paul is in Craigieburn. G'day, Paul. What are you thinking?
Well, that guy from Mildura, if he'd been at the MCG with eight of his mates, one from Mildura, one from Warrnambool, one from Echuca, one from Wangaratta, one from Bright, one from Lakes Entrance, and they'd all stopped at places on the way home, particularly little towns like Minyip, where all the people are old. And so they wouldn't worry about it because they've got no medical services. Give it a week, it'll be right through the town and the farming community. It could have been all over Victoria. We've got to lock it down and keep it down. As for the QR code, there should be a system such that the QR code recognises when somebody from Melbourne QR codes in, and that should give a warning to the operator to tell them to get out. Those people that present their licences, there's actually a nightclub system whereby you actually have to produce your licence and your licence is actually pushed in to a little card system whereby it takes a photo of the details. Every one of those from Melbourne should be reported to the police and they all should be fined. We've got to stop it. And as for those people that carry on and grandstand by tipping their milk down the sink and things like that, if they gave all the food that they reckon is going to go off, if they gave all that away, people would come back and patronise them in future. Whereas if they're going to grandstand, I'm going to create a list of people that I will never, ever
Oh, Paul, look, I can hear how frustrated you are talking about this, and I think many of us feel the same way. And look, we're going to cross to Bendigo, we're also going to cross to Buller, and, you know, we're hearing reports of some real aggression towards people that are having to prove and show their licence, and the people that are feeling like they're being put on the front line when actually that's just their job to make coffees and to serve tables, and it can be really, really stressful. And it shows just how emotional people are, Jono, because this has been a long time. Back at the very beginning, we did a very similar show and it was more about keep us separated, lock us down until we've got this under control, Melbourne, stay the hell away. But over time, people's opinions have changed depending on how much they rely on domestic tourism.
Yeah, and also over time, you'd think our systems would have got better. You know, we've got a QR code system now, which seems to be working, but that could be expanded. I mean, we're talking, there was some media coverage over the weekend around when you check in somewhere and use a QR code, that could actually prove that you've been vaccinated as well. So not only are you checking in, but you're kind of proving your vaccination credentials, or at least, as you know, it was suggested there, you might be able to prove where you're from. Let's have a chat now with Chris from Karai. How do you think we should deal with this situation, Chris?
Well, I'm annoyed that we are as we are, okay? People in Melbourne need to stay in Melbourne. I've got a good customer and I do deliveries to pubs and stuff everywhere. Sorry, that previous publican, I'm just, he's thinking of himself. We need to lock it down. That's the only way to control it. I had a customer of mine in Drysdale, which is in the Bellarine Peninsula. She had to go and stand out front because a staff member got abused. She turned away in a 2.5 hour period, 12 people from Melbourne. That was before regional went in. That was last Wednesday, before we went into lockdown. And yeah, this outbreak, there's people going around. Yes, they're going through side streets and stuff like that, but I've noticed the police are onto that now. And you can go through your side steps and think, yes, sorry, the best way to do it is lock it down.
Yeah, so you, Chris, you're up for a ring of steel, and I don't think you're alone there. Finn Vettelsby is the chairman of Bendigo Tourism. Finn, the entire state's very divided on this. Some people really need local tourism. We heard from Metong, they want it open so that they can survive. But then, you know, as we just heard there from Chris from Corio, that he wants a ring of steel. In Bendigo, how are people feeling at the moment?
Look, mate, we're devastated, and we've got what some people have described as whiplash for being open and closed quite quickly. Now, it wasn't as if we didn't see this coming. What we need is a development of a COVID normal strategic plan that's really super comprehensive, but with real-time measurable goals, so that all of us frustrated business people have got a time frame, or we understand what the government's doing to put us into this new normal and what the plan is, because it's not out there, it's not readily known.
It's a bit hard, though, to give those concrete details, isn't it? Because the situation with COVID changes every day.
Well, absolutely. The situation with COVID changes every day, and I am personally very supportive of a government who takes action to protect my family's health. However, there has to be a clear roadmap forward with achievable goals that small business is privy to, so we can you know, target and support us as a state and as a country to move towards.
How do you feel, Finn, about, you know, what that roadmap looks like? And one of the ideas was, and it was still in place just prior to this lockdown, was staff members checking the licence of people to see whether or not they're from local areas. Now, there's reports in Bendigo, one publican turning away 50 people over 4 days. We're seeing aggression, and that staff members are having to put up with some pretty terrible behaviour and sort of putting themselves into a role that really is above and beyond their job description. That's not working from what it seems. I mean, what are some of the other ideas to move forward on this plan or this roadmap?
Well, clearly it's not working because we've been shut down again even after we've had these lockdowns. I think that the Ring of Steel would have been re-implemented if it was going to be, if it was going to actually work and be sustainable. But people do know the back roads, like someone was saying earlier on. And I think we can't hold to ransom the entire state because of a few people who are not doing the right thing. As a general rule, Bendigo is doing the right thing. So are so many Victorians. It's really a beautiful community thing to see. But we need this operational thing and how to prepare our small business and our organisation right now. But I think that this is a difficult challenge. And for many of us, it's day to day. And to have survived this long in business proves the resilience of Victorians. But the other and the very tricky thing that we need to do is to determine what to do in the mid to long term.
It's going to be with us for a while now.
200 days in lockdown. March 2020, 520 days, okay? This has been hanging over our head. That's, a quarter of my son's lifetime.
Yeah, it's okay. A long time. And you're right, it sounds like we do need to, develop a plan because this is, COVID's going to be with us for years now. So thank you, Finn, for your perspective. Finn Vettlesby, the chairman of Bendigo Tourism.
Lots of texts coming in. I think it's very divisive to have different rules for different suburbs. And this, don't blame Melbourne people. We've had enough. And if we want to travel, we will. Anita's in West Melbourne. Anita, welcome. What do you think?
Hello. I'm in Melton, actually. So I'm in the western suburbs. And I do agree. It's so divisive. 10 minutes from where I actually live in Melton is Gisborne. And 10 minutes is Bacchus Marsh. And they are regions. 10 minutes, 20 minutes is Sunbury. People working in Sunbury travel to people living in Sunbury travel to Riddles Creek to work. Riddles is a region. Gisborne people, Bacchus Marsh people work in Melton. They go home. They then go, say, to Bacchus Marsh, but they're from regions, so then they can go on a pleasant Sunday afternoon drive to Ballarat after working in Melton. So I'm really torn by that. If you're going to do the Ring of Steel, people from the regions do not come to work in Melbourne. Now, the man in Metung didn't take that into consideration.
No. And you're in a really tricky situation, Anita, where you're just on the cusp there. Lots of texts from people on both sides of the fence here, Jono, around whether or not we should be trying to keep people in or out of the regions.
On ABC Radio, this is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall.
And today the topic is if we should be having localised lockdowns. Should some regional towns be exempt from lockdown? Do we need to keep people out of regional Victoria or do we need to try to get people in?
Really divisive, lots of texts on this. Well, in my regional town, there are around 1,000 residents that don't have a vested business interest. The Ring of Steel is what they want. Why do businesses get such a loud voice over the majority? And another saying, tough, we have to trust the advice of our public health leaders. No one can tell the future. The whole world wants a pandemic roadmap and there isn't one. And this one, Jono, that says the people here in regional Victoria who want Melbourneites out here are the ones who make money out of them. The rest of us want them as far away as possible. Nothing personal, though.
There's a lot of different opinions on this on the text line. Kim from East Brighton says, fed up to the teeth with whinging from regional Victoria. The virus can go anywhere, anytime. This statewide lockdown is protection, not punishment. Let's see if Rick from the Basin agrees with that. Morning, Rick.
Good morning. In regard to identifying people that are travelling from Melbourne to the country, at the moment, Vic Roads have a system where you can via their website, you can type in a registration number and it'll tell you whether that registration number is valid or whether it's still active. If they just added the postcode to where that vehicle is normally located, you could quickly identify whether those people are from Melbourne or in the country.
I guess, Rick, too, the question is whether or not, even if we can identify whether they're from the country or from regional Victoria, should they be allowed there in the first place? Because certain, I guess, techniques have been thrown around. The snow is a really good example, Jono, of where some really sort of edgy ways of seeing whether or not people can get to the snow and can ski and can enjoy that period. So let's have a chat with Rilla Morgan. She's from Bullet Ski Lifts. And it's almost like you guys did a little bit of a test run, Rilla, for how we could get people in and out of smaller regional communities safely. Do you think it worked?
I think overall it did. It was unexpected when it was brought in, and we had to adapt really quickly. And I'm not sure if people remember, but what happened was at one point we were coming out of a lockdown phase, regional Victoria was being allowed to reopen, and there was this special criteria that was applied only to those of us in the Alpine resorts. And that was challenging at the time, and some people, you know, felt that we were being singled out for that. But as you just mentioned, it does make us a really interesting test case, and it's something that was actually pretty quickly adopted. So definitely, you know, out of that, it was a good example, something for us to look at.
And just remind us what the what you had to do if you wanted to go to the snow. You had to get a COVID test within 72 hours of going up there, and it had to come back negative, right?
That's correct, Jono. So, yeah, you needed to provide evidence of a negative COVID test that was taken 72 hours prior to your arrival to any Alpine resort in Victoria. And, it, you know, that's not a perfect system either. I don't think any of these systems are, as we're all sort of struggling with and learning. But it was something that was clear. It meant our resort entry staff sitting at the gate could clearly look at something and check whether it had been done or not. Most people were more than happy to do that, and the feeling up in the resort once that process was in place was just a little bit more comfort, to be honest. For our community, we're a remote community and we're reliant obviously on people being able to come and go for that really short tourism window. It did make people feel a bit safer.
Do you think that would work on a larger scale if, say, for example, at the end of this lockdown, those rules were in place for all of regional Victoria? What do you think about that?
Look, we're in a unique position here in the Alpine Resorts in that people come in through a resort entry gate. So we're actually, compared to other regional tourism settings, we've got a whole lot more information here than a township like Mansfield, just down the road from us, has, where there isn't, I guess, a single point of entry. So it would be a little bit different in regional tourism areas because for us, you've got to literally come up that one road into the Alpine Resort. So there'd definitely be some logistics to be worked out, but it's obviously something that's been trialled kind of on us and, you know, might be something that regional tourism areas would think about.
And just finally, Rilla, did you cop any, I guess, aggression from people and maybe having to staff this in a way that people are having to check licences or having to check that they have had a COVID test that's resulted in a negative result over 72 or 74 hours? Because we're finding in regional Victoria when, you know, cafe workers or just everyday staff members are having to check licences, that it's really causing a lot of conflict.
Look, it is, and I think every time those things are implemented, you know, there's people that are comfortable with it and there's people that are really uncomfortable with it. The thing that I was certainly most mindful of when it happened was what you've just talked about, is that these are our frontline people. So these are local people in our community who are doing a job of, you know, basically checking resort entries, and they're suddenly, you know, getting this extra level, I guess, of like a policing type role, which is very stressful for everyone involved. So certainly not without its challenges. And I think that's where, if we're looking at those types of systems, we need to think about how do we support the guests and how do we support the people that are being asked to enforce it? Because as you say, there's, you know, 17-year-olds standing on the door of a cafe, sometimes getting people being quite stressed and aggressive, yeah. and that's really hard for anyone to deal with as part of their job.
Yeah, it really is. Rilla, well said. Thanks for your time. That's Rilla Morgan from Buller Ski Lifts. And there's a text here that says exactly that. Living in Melbourne, it actually saddens me to hear that some self-important Melburnians and what they're doing and how they're treating hospitality people in the country and giving them such a hard time. Those few are widening the divide between city and country folk. I wish that these entitled people would just suck it up and pull their heads in.
Yeah, and lots of, well, quite a few people on the text line advocating a ring of steel. This text says, ring of steel should have been brought in a month ago. Bring it in immediately now, though. Please don't encourage tourism right now. And Alan says, this Delta strain is just too quick. We need blanket rules to get on top of it, but we also need government payments to keep us going while we can't work. James Trower is the head of the Epidemiological Modelling Unit at Monash University and joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jono.
Should we have some areas of Victoria that are exempt from lockdown?
Well, yeah, it's hard to say because I guess a ring of steel now, you'd have to draw it around Shepparton and around Melbourne. And there are areas of Victoria that have low or zero case numbers, although there's often concerns about wastewater and I guess often there's exposure sites, even if there aren't individual cases there. So it gets really hard to draw lines around these things. And I think when we tried that last year in Victoria, it really didn't work well. So often we do just have to go for the broadest lockdown measures.
Over the last 18 months or so, you know, we thought it was all going to be over by now, didn't we? When COVID first came out, we were like, 2021, don't worry, life will be back to normal. And it sort of feels like we are only peaking right now.
Well,
has there been
read some of the stuff I wrote last year. I wrote an article last year that said, beware winter 2021. So yeah. Go and read that.
Yeah. Well, what, I mean, is there anything that has worked that you think, James, that we could start to adopt? Or is it just simple, just lock down until we're all vaccinated?
So I think we do need to, I think this is a really, really critical phase. We've got every reason why the virus will outpace vaccination, and that was what the Premier was just saying on the news conference. We've got, partly because we had really good control last year, we don't have natural immunity. People haven't been infected by the virus, which gives you some degree of immunity. So our success actually makes things more dangerous now. We've got Delta, of course. We've got very limited vaccine coverage, and we're in winter. And in a area of the world that has some pretty big cities that I think also can accelerate transmission, like Sydney and Melbourne. So we've got every reason why it will take off really, really quickly until we get covered by vaccination. So I guess we can discuss whether it's 70% or 80% or where it is, but I think we really need to get vaccinated before we let this thing run wild.
And the key difference, or one of the key differences between this year and last year, is that younger people seem to be more affected with this Delta strain. So we've got about 80% of our active cases in Victoria. Those people are aged below 40, and around 25% are under the age of 9. So what's the danger here with young people?
Well, I'm not sure whether it's specifically about young people personally. I mean, we've got pretty high vaccine coverage in the older age group, so that's going to drive the epidemic towards the younger age group, and that's a very big part of what's going on at the moment. And I think we've just seen that Delta is more infectious, far more infectious than what we were dealing with last year in every respect. People don't talk about all of these things, but it's infectious earlier, it's infectious for longer, it takes you, you excrete the virus for longer after your first exposed. And so children, I think what we saw last year is transmission in schools and transmission in childcare centres just couldn't sustain itself because children weren't infectious enough. And so we've probably just now tipped that balance, and with the Delta variant, it's infectious enough that we can get chains of transmission in childcare. So we do, schools and potentially childcare. So we do have to be a lot more careful.
James, thanks for your thoughts. That's James Trower. He's the head of Epidemiological Modelling Unit at Monash University. Let's end today with Dean, who's in Ballarat. Do you feel like you're seeing more people travelling in and out that maybe aren't from the local area?
Well, I had to go down to Melton the other day, and there was more cars coming out of Melbourne than what there was going down into Melton. So it's a no-brainer. They have to do the ring of steel. It's just ridiculous.
Good on you, Dean. Thank you. It's interesting what he said there about traffic. Just anecdotally, yeah. We were talking about that in the office, Jono, and as someone that does drive to work, as I am permitted to, I have noticed this lockdown more traffic than other lockdowns, which is...
Yep. This is the other thing. People are just more actively watching what's happening, and people are out on their walks and checking up on people, and just kind of there's a little bit of vigilante action going on, I reckon. Just this last text from Doc in Hawthorne East. It says, most country people realise the importance of lockdown for animal disease outbreaks, so one could expect it to even be more widely accepted because of the Delta outbreak. Put lives and families before dollars. So that's the Conversation Hour for today. But if you missed the start of this program, or if you know someone who'd be interested in this topic, subscribe to the Conversation Hour podcast on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, you can email us at conversationhour@abc.net.au. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.